Deuteronomy chapter 30 this morning. If you can take your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'll give you what the Lord's put on my heart this morning out of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And when you find your place, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God if you're physically able to and would like to. Read some verses and give you what the Lord's got on my heart this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'll begin reading in verse number 11. It says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word, for blessing us with a copy of it this morning. Thank You for the Spirit of God that guides us into all truth. I pray, Lord, You would bless the reading of Your Word this morning. I pray, Lord, You would bless these simple thoughts. Lord, You've put on our heart. Help me, Lord, to preach in a way that be pleasing unto You. And I pray that You'd give that special touch that makes preaching this morning. I pray that You'd bless, Lord, all of our hearts. And, Lord, open our hearts and our minds. Help us to receive from heaven what You'd have us to receive. And, Lord, I pray that You would touch that lost soul that might be here among us this morning. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, they'd realize their need of a Savior. Or they'd repent and believe the gospel and be born again. And Father, I pray for Your people that would be drawn closer to Thee. Help us, Lord, to be more like You, to be what You want us to be. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What we've just read here, this is, of course, chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, and there's only 34 chapters in the book of Deuteronomy. So we're nearing the end of the book. We're in these last few chapters, and what we've just read this morning is a portion of a discourse that is given by Moses here. Now, what's kind of happening here, you know, as you get through the end of Deuteronomy, Moses dies, he passes off the scene, and then Joshua comes in Joshua chapter 1. He kind of takes up the mantle, so to speak. He's then the new leader, and God puts him in that position. But as we near the end of Deuteronomy, nearing the end of Moses' life and his ministry, he's giving some lengthy discourses to Israel. As you read through the book, you'll find that Moses, I believe, is kind of realizing that he's coming down to the end of his life and the end of his ministry. He's about to be passing off the scene. His ministry is about to come to an end, and another man is going to come in behind him and take that role, and then he will be the one to lead God's people forward. And so, realizing this, the state and the situation here, he begins to kind of give some lengthy discourses to Israel. And in these discourses, he would review various things throughout his ministry and review various laws and various, matter of fact, he'd review a lot of the laws and the warnings that were given to Israel to govern their life. And that's kind of what he's doing. That's what's taking place in this chapter. He's kind of going back and reviewing the different things that God has commanded them and reviewing some of the warnings that God has given them regarding when they come into the land and all those things. And kind of reminding them of their responsibility to God and all the things that God gave them under His ministry. You know, when you really think about it, you may not realize this, but as a pastor, any preacher would tell you this, that that's kind of what ministry is in general, really. It's just kind of reminding people and preaching the same old things over and over and over and laying the same foundations over and over and over. You read 1 Peter chapter 1, he talked about, he used that phrase, these things, if you do these things. And he said that like 4 or 5 times in chapter 1. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. And what's he talking about? He's talking about the things he's already taught them. The things they already know. And you know, I think the biggest problem in the church today is not the things that people don't know that they aren't doing. It's the things that they know to do that they're not doing. As a matter of fact, that was the same problem in Israel right here. That's what he said in the verses. In verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. He said, listen, God's word and the laws of God, it's not up in the heaven. You're not waiting on somebody to go up and get it and bring it to you. He said in verse 13, neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. So, you know, you're not waiting for somebody to go get it and bring it back to you so that then you can do it. He said, oh no, you already know it now. Verse 14, he said, but the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. There's not a person sitting here this morning that could not do the will of God. There's not a marriage here this morning that couldn't be a marriage that would honor and glorify God. There's not a home represented here this morning that couldn't be a home that would glorify God. Amen. Listen, there's not a person here that could not do the will of God. We all can do the will of God. We're either doing it or choosing not to do it. Because listen, the word is very nigh thee. Amen. It's even in thy mouth. Our problem is not what we don't know. Our problem is what we do know that we won't do. And Moses is going back and he is reminding them of this and stirring them once again because he's about to pass off the scene. And he's reminding them one more time, listen, if you will do these things, if you will do what God's told you to do, if you will live for God, if you'll do it right, God will bless you. God will work in your life. God will use you. And that's exactly what he said in verse 16, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. And I know he's talking to Israel, but listen, that pattern is still the truth for the church in 2024, that if you will do God's will, if you will obey his commandments, if you will obey his judgments, God will bless you. He will bless you. The flip side of that is if you will not do what God tells you to do, if you will not do what this Bible says, God will curse you. You will live under the curse of God. Amen. Listen, the things of God, I've said this many times, I'll say it again, that it's not a salad bar, you know. You know, and it's not even a good, better, best thing. There's not like the good Christian life and then the better Christian life and the best Christian life. No, you're either doing the will of God or you're not. And God's either going to bless you based on what you're doing and how you're living, or you are going to be under the curse of God based on what you're doing and how you're living. And there's no middle ground. There's no, you know, perfect center, you know, bullseye middle of the will of God, and then the little bit on the outskirts of the will of God. Listen, I know God, they talk about the permissive will, things God permits. But listen to me, you're either doing the will of God or you're not. And God will permit you to do His will, or God will permit you to do your own thing. But you're either in His will or you're not in His will. You're either doing what God wants you to do or you're not. And you know and God knows. Amen. You know what direction you're going. You know the things in your life. You know the secret sins. You know and God knows too. And you know if you're doing the will of God or if you're not. And what Moses is telling them, he's laying out. My text verse really is verse number 15. Right in the middle of this, he lays it out exactly that way. He says in verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. He did not say, I've set before you the perfect will of God and then the permissive will of God and then, you know, the fringe will of God and then finally outside the will of God. He didn't put that out. He didn't put out, you know, I've set for you the layers, the good, better, best of the will of God. He didn't say that. He said, oh no. He said, I put before you good, life and good, and then wrong and evil, or death and evil. And those really are the only two ways. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on the ways of life. The real ways of life. See, in these discourses, he's reviewing the various times and the laws and warnings of his ministry to govern the children of Israel, to govern God's people. And in our verse, in verse 15 this morning, he really summarizes what he'd been saying to the Israelites all along. What he's always been saying. He goes back and he summarizes all of it, namely that he is setting before the people two ways of life. If I have ever led you to believe that you can be in the will of God and then in the perfect will of God, but then also in the permissive will of God, and then if I've ever led you to believe that there's a good, better, best in the will of God, I want you to know right now, I'm sorry, and I take it back. Because the reality is, there is no good, better, best in the will of God. You're either doing it or you're not. It's not a salad bar where you take what you want and lead the rest, and God's okay with it regardless, and you can do more if you want to, you can take more if you want to, but if you decide not to, and you know, you can just go as far as you want to go and stay back and be as carnal as you want to be, and God's okay with all of it. Oh no, friend, listen, you're either doing what God wants you to do or you are not, and you'll give an account to God at the judgment one day. Amen. Oh yes, you might be saved so as by fire, but that doesn't mean you've done the will of God. And that doesn't mean He'll look at you and He'll say, well done, now good and faithful servant. Because if you haven't been, you know, done well and been good. Amen. There are only two ways of life. Two ways. And Moses has shown them the right way. God has given him the message to give them the right way. And he's warned them about the wrong way. And you know, at the end of the day, that's the only two ways of life. There's the right way and there is the wrong way. I know this is real simple preaching. But listen to me. We've complicated this thing so much. And listen, the heart is deceitful above all. We've dealt with that a lot lately, over the past several months. Deceitful above all and desperately wicked, who can know it? That means you can't even. You can't even, your heart's so deceitful it'll deceive even you. Only God can know your heart. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but I've prayed many times, Lord, don't let me make a mistake. Lord, don't let me make a wrong. Say, Lord, I am perfectly willing and open to you throwing up a roadblock and not letting me go the wrong way, not physically letting me go the wrong way, because Lord, you know my frame. You know my heart, even when I don't know it. Even whenever it has deceived me, Lord. Amen. Because listen, our heart will deceive us, and within the Christian walk and the Christian life, I tell you, nothing will deceive you like your own heart and your own Christian walk. And it'll get you thinking this good, better, best mentality that, yeah, I'm okay. I could be doing better, but I'm still okay right where I am. I could go farther, but I'm still okay where I'm at. I could do more, but I'm doing all right right where I'm at. Because after all, I'm doing more than they're doing. Or after all, I'm doing better than they're doing. Or after all, I'm not doing as bad as they're doing. And listen, you can always compare yourself to somebody else, and you can always find your cake and ice cream preaching that tells you exactly what you want to hear. By the way, independent Baptists do that too. Amen. And listen, we can find our favorite preachers and our favorite messages that'll tell us exactly what we want to hear and lay it out the way we want to think about it. But the reality is, we are either going one way or the other way. One way or the other. And so he lays out the ways of life. I want to know three things about the ways of life this morning, then I'll be done. First of all, I want us to think about the categories of the ways. I've already mentioned this several times already leading up to it, but there's only two categories of life right here in this verse. As a matter of fact, you only ever find two categories of life off of the Bible. This isn't the only verse that makes it seem that way. This is the pattern of all Scripture. That there's only two categories of life right here. There is a good way and there is an evil way. And you are either right or you are wrong. And you are either doing good or you are doing evil. You are going to either heaven or you are going to hell. And there is no middle ground. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground for saved people, no middle ground for lost people. There's no middle ground. It is one or the other. And you say, well, this is Old Testament, this is back in Deuteronomy. But listen, Jesus emphasized the same thing. Jesus said the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, Jesus Himself said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. And that goes for every single one of us. That goes for me and my wife and my children, and for you and your wife and your husband and your children. Listen, every one of us is either going the right way or the wrong way. We're either doing it right or we're doing it wrong. And I tell you, we complicate life a whole lot, but at the end of the day, the most important things in life, the most important things in life are very simple. Very simple. By the way, this is why religion has gotten so complicated. People have all these complicated, weird beliefs, and they think you gotta dig in and find this hidden meaning in Scripture, and you gotta go back to the Greek and back to the original, as if there even was such a thing, right? Go back to this and that and figure it all out, because there's gotta be this deep, shadowy, hidden meaning. But listen to me, brother. The problem with this King James Bible is not that people can't understand it, it's that they can understand it. It's that they do know what it says, that they do know what it means. That is their problem, and it's just too simple for people. They think there's got to be more to it than that. It's too simple, because the most important things in life really are very simple. Very simple. There's not 1,500 categories or ways to go in life. There's only two. There's only two. And you're doing one of the two. You're going one of the two ways. And so, the categories of the ways. Number two, notice the cognizance of the ways. Look at what he says in the verse number 15. He says, "See, I have set before thee this day." This day. I have set before thee this day. As a matter of fact, if you read through the whole chapter, he makes that same statement multiple times. Not necessarily the same way every time, but he makes that same statement that, in other words, see, I have made it obvious to you. I have made it clear to you. I have preached it straight and preached it plain so that you don't walk away wondering, what was he talking about? Amen? You ever heard a preacher preach and you wonder, walk away thinking, what was he talking about? What was the point of that? Amen? And listen, can I just say that a lot of preaching is disliked by the world because it is too plain, because it is too obvious, because it is too clear, because it's not shadowy enough where it's left up to our own interpretation. That's what the flesh wants, to think about it the way I want to think, interpret it the way I want to interpret. Listen, there is not but one of two ways. Listen, may God help me and may God help every preacher in these last days to still preach plain, amen, to preach it where we are at, to preach it at where we can understand it. Listen, I think the greatest compliment that could ever be had over my preaching would be for a little child to walk away and say, I know exactly what he was talking about, amen, because would to God that the message would be plain. And that's what Moses is saying here. Moses has been the leader. He's been their preacher. He's been their prophet. And every message he's always given, he's given them, he says, I have set it before you this day. You know, the greatest preacher there is, at his best, can only set it before us this day. If John the Baptist was here preaching, or Jesus himself, at their best, all they can do is sit it here before you this day. Amen. Nobody can make you love God. Nobody can make you live for God. Nobody can make you do right. Nobody can do that. You've got to surrender to God. It's a work of God. Salvation's of the Lord, and living for God, it's of the Lord. Only the Lord can do that. I'll tell you, a lot of men give themselves stomach ulcers trying to get church people to live right that don't want to live right, and they're not going to.
And I gave up on that a long time ago. Amen. I can't keep people from being half-naked on Facebook. But I sure ain't going to put them on a platform half-naked. But I can't keep them from running around out town half-naked. I can't do that. I can't make people be faithful. Amen. I can keep them holding a position in the church leadership. Amen. I can't make people have a good godly marriage. Right? None of us can do that. No, no, that's between you and God. Amen. But I'm just telling you, I'm just here to set it before you. So it's bright and clear. So it's obvious and understand that you don't walk away wondering what Brother Jacob was saying. So you know that whenever you walk out these doors, that you've either made the decision to do right or from your heart, you've made the decision to keep going the way you're going. But either way, you're walking away making a decision because the message is plain. Hallelujah. Amen. And the best preacher that ever lived at his best can only make the message plain. That's all we can do is make the message. And that's what Moses said. There is, in other words, there is cognizance. They are cognizant of the ways in which he is talking about. Moses had made plain to Israel the two ways of life. And Israel had no excuse for going wrong. They couldn't tell Moses, well, no, Moses, you never preached to us. You never told it clear enough. And Moses, your messages, they were just always real confusing. I mean, God told you to say something whenever you told us. I mean, it was confusing the way you worded it and all. We just didn't understand. Oh, no, they couldn't say that. By the way, Paul's preaching was the same way, isn't that right? He was very plain in speech. Amen. As a matter of fact, when he stood before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa, you know, that great message he preached to King Agrippa, and when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, that was one of the things Paul said to King Agrippa. He said, Agrippa, understandest what I'm telling you? He said, I know you understand. He said, none of these things were done in a corner. It's obvious, it's plain, it's clear. And that is the way Moses preached to Israel. Israel had no excuse for going wrong. They could not claim ignorance about which way to live, for they were fully aware of the ways of life. That I can go one way or I can go the other way. You know, we cannot claim ignorance about the ways of life either. They're probably in this room, I doubt there'd be one person here this morning that if you was to add up all the time you spend in church and all the messages you've heard and put all the hours together, that it wouldn't combine to at least be a good associate's degree in theology. If you was to add up all the hours, probably all is about a doctorate degree in terms of just the hours we've spent under preaching in the service. Amen. Well, listen, just because you've been under the preaching and in the service, and just because you've gone through the service doesn't mean it has gone through you. Amen. But whether or not it's gone through you or not, whether or not you sat there and heard the message and you hung on to every word, whether or not you from the heart said, God, what do you want to say to me? Lord, is this for me? Lord, do you want me to do? Whether or not you were engaged or not, you will stand before God. And you will give an account for every minute, every hour, every word spoken to you from this Bible. You'll give an account not just for the preaching and the services you've been in, but you'll give an account for every word in this Bible. As a matter of fact, you will be judged by every word of this Bible because you have a copy of it. And you have the Holy Spirit guiding you into all truth. And it may or may not sit and collect dust, every other day of the week except for the days you bring it to church. It may or may not do that. But regardless, you'll give an account for it because you've got it. Because the message is plain. Because you're cognizant. Because you have the ability. Because God's given you the faculties. God's given the eyesight. He's given the ability to read. He's given the Holy Spirit. He's given us and made it available to us. We are cognizant. See, God has shown us in so many ways the ways of life. God uses our conscience to show us the ways of life. God will use friends to show us the ways of life. And He'll use our experiences to show us the ways of life. He'll use our church and our preacher. And He'll use so many things to show us the way and inform us the ways of life. But especially does God use His Word to inform us about the ways of life. And God has never muddied the water in that. The devil might, and the world might, and your flesh might. But God has never muddied the water and made somebody believe that maybe they're doing the good will, but they could be doing the best will. Oh no, at the end of the day, you're either doing right or you're not. And you know, and God knows. Cognizance of the ways. Last of all, let me give you this. Here in this verse, we see the category of the ways. There's only two. There's the cognizance of the ways, we all know. And then there is the consequences of the ways. In the verse again, let's read it again. He says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, comma, and death and evil." The consequences of the ways. Life and good, and death and evil. Now again, if you note, I tried to really emphasize it there, but if you will note in the verse, life is paired with good. And death is paired with evil. See, there are different outcomes to different ways of living. I know not anybody here this morning is thinking, boy, this is new. I've never heard this before. Never thought about it that way before. No, we all know this, but we have to be reminded. Because the heart that's deceitful above all and desperately wicked, who can know it? I tell you, you'll get deceived. And the reality is that there are always different outcomes to different ways of living. And one outcome from one way of living will never be the outcome from the other way of living. They'll never cross up. It's always the same. All roads do not lead to heaven. All lifestyles do not have the same consequences. Whether, if you live one way, you will reap the consequences of that way. If you live the other way, you will reap the consequences of that way. And some try to deny this fact. And they, and maybe as we've said, people get, maybe allow their heart to deceive them in this fact. And maybe someone would never say this, but in their heart, they want to believe that I can do this, I can go this way, but I'll still be all right. I know it's happened to other people. I know what I've seen happen to other families. I know I've seen what happened to other kids. I know what I've seen it happen to other people. I know what I've seen happen in others, but I'll be the one that's different. Even in their own heart, they try to convince themselves, it'll never happen to me, it'll never happen to my kids, it'll never happen to my family, oh, it'll never be us. It'll all work out. It'll all work out. Some way, somehow, it's all gonna work out. And I think people, a lot of times, they take an out of sight, out of mind approach. Or like an ignorance is bliss approach, you know. The less I know, the better. Right? I remember thinking that as a lost person. You know, I remember battling. Of course, I was lost, and I was a kid anyways, and you think about stuff crazy as a kid anyways. But I remember thinking as a kid, maybe the less I know of the Bible, the better, because the less I'll be accountable for. I remember thinking that, kind of thinking my way through some of that stuff. But I don't know. I don't doubt that a lot of people don't think that way. The less I know, the less I know of what's going on in my home, the better, because then I'm not responsible for it. The less I know of what's, you know, being really honest about what's in my life, the better, because then I'm not responsible for it. Just turn a blind eye, put my head in the sand, and pretend it's not there. But I'm here to tell you there's not but two ways, and you'll reap the consequences of the way, whether you turn a blind eye or you don't. Amen. People convince themselves that a little social drinking, just, it ain't gonna hurt that bad. It's just once. It's just a little bit. A little pornography. It's not going to be that bad. It ain't going to, I mean, it's not affecting anybody else. It's not going to affect me. A little gambling here and there. A little immorality. A little immodesty. Just pushing the envelope a little bit. Just raising the hemline a little bit. It's not that big a deal. Just a little lie. A little white lie. A little half-truth. It's not going to be that big a deal. And on and on and on we go. And they'll convince, you'll convince yourself that it ain't going to hurt me. It ain't going to hurt my family. After all, I did that thing that one time and it ain't hurt me yet. Right? Insist that you can live how you want and still do well. Well, you might do well for a little while, at least in the ways of the world. But Moses isn't talking about the ways of the world here. He's talking about having the blessings of God. Which, by the way, if we're more interested in doing well in the ways of the world, we've missed it already anyways. Amen. If that's really what your heart desires, you may as well go after it because it's all you're going to get. You remember whenever those Pharisees, you know, prayed those big elaborate prayers, you know, and the Lord talked about how they prayed those elaborate prayers to be seen of men. And you know what he said? They have their reward. In other words, they are seen of men. And men are impressed. And men do look at them and say, oh, they're so spiritual. That's what they're doing it for. And men, they get what they're looking for. But the problem is, that's all they get. And I can guarantee you right now, as we sit in this church this morning, every Pharisee, every religious person that ever prayed a long, eloquent, impressive prayer for the sake of impressing somebody that got their reward by impressing somebody, I guarantee you right now in hell, they'd trade it. If they could go back and do different, if they could go back and change it, they'd go back and change it right now. Because if you live for this world is all you'll get. It's all you'll get. If you're living for good memories with your family, that's all you're going to have. If you're living for money, that's all you're going to have. If you're living for a successful career, that's all you're going to have. If you're living for retirement, that's all you'll get. And you're going to look back one of these days in eternity and wish you would have done differently. Because it always has consequences. The truth about the two ways is this. Good brings life. The only real living there is, only real life there is doing good. But then evil brings death. And it always brings death. 100% of the time it brings death. And that's the only two ways that there are. Now, you may mock that truth, and somebody may mock that truth. Your flesh will. Your flesh will mock at that. The devil will mock at that. The world mocks at that. But I'm telling you, if you do mock that truth, you'll regret it for all eternity. And eternity is a long time. It's a long time. You know, when you think about this world and think about all that this world has to offer, it is so small. In light of eternity. I was thinking just this morning about, you know, money and you know, anyone who lives for God, you're gonna sacrifice something. And I'm not telling you this for a pity party. That's not what I'm saying. But this is just what I was thinking this morning. I was thinking about, you know, not even me, but I think about all the preachers. I know a lot of men that were really, really successful in the things of the world. I'm talking about in business. Had great businesses, very successful, made a lot of money, and could have made hundreds or even, you know, hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars in their lifetime. But God put a call on their heart and they left it all to be given over to the ministry. In a lot of ways, I could say some of that. Listen, I'd think about years, man, it wasn't nothing. Me and Hannah got married. We'd take vacations and road trips all the time. Man, it, you know. And I think back to the sacrifice that was. But it's never felt like a sacrifice. Because here's the thing. The people who look at losing the things of the world as a sacrifice, their heart's in the wrong place anyways. Their heart's in the wrong place. Listen, I'm going to stand here and tell you there ain't been times where I've looked back and thought, man, it'd sure be nice me making that money again. Talk to my buddies who are in camper sales now and think, man, they're making so much crazy money, you know. Man, that would be nice. And I ain't going to stand here and tell you that it ain't been tight sometimes. And I'm not going to tell you that there's not been a legitimate sacrifice. But the reality is, it's never in my heart been a sacrifice. And listen, when I got saved and I lost all my worldly friends, it never looked like a sacrifice in those days. And listen, whenever I started giving my time over to going to meetings instead of doing the fun stuff, listen, that never looked like a sacrifice. That's where my heart was at. That's what God did in me. I'm just saying, if it really looks like a sacrifice, your heart's in the wrong place anyways. I know that there's a difference in submission and surrender, and your flesh will never, it'll never submit to the things of God. You submit your spirit. You willingly give your spirit, your heart over to the Lord. But your flesh, you can never get your flesh to submit. Your flesh just has to surrender. Because it don't ever want the things of God. Now, I understand that. But at the end of the day, anyone who wants the things of this world more than they want the things of God, that's what you're going to get. If you're given over to that, if you're walking that way, because there's not but two ways. Not but two directions to go. And the question this morning is, what way are you going? What direction are you going? You know, and God knows. And you know, the great thing about this passage here, and you read it, if you read the verses before the verses, we're not going to read them, but go back and read them. He's given a discourse leading up to Israel talking about them turning from their evil ways. Turning from their idols. And he's talking about finding mercy in the eyes of God. And how God, if you'll turn and do the commands, God will bless you. The devil and the world and the flesh will get you thinking, you've gone too far, I've messed up, it's all over with. But you've never messed up where it's all over with. You can always turn back and start doing the first commands. And if you realize this morning you're going the wrong way, you know what you ought to do? Don't just get on an altar, but get on the right way. I love that song we always sing, I'm going that way. You can't really sing that from your heart if you're not going that way. Are you really going that way? Is there any area of your life where you're not going that way? This morning, Jesus could come back for the day's over. You want to be found going the wrong way, you want to be found going the right way. And there's only two. The ways of life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it in our hearts. And Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning, anyone who's heard the message from you, I pray that today would be the day, if they're going the wrong way, Lord, they'd set their heart to go the right way. Lord, I pray that you bless in the altar call, speak to our hearts, help us to respond to you in a way that be pleasing to you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's